Well, good morning, Cedarville students. This is my first time at Cedarville, but I need to say I've heard about you for years. Your reputation precedes you. And this is what they say about you. They say you're committed to the Word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. They say that you want your lives to count for God's kingdom. They also say you're excellent students. That's true, isn't it? So I'm sure you've been doing very well at all of your tests and exams so far this semester, right? And you're looking forward to fall break. But I wonder if you're adequately prepared for one particular exam. There's a test that you'll face that comes up at any time in a wide variety of settings. And basically, this exam just has two questions posed in a different variety of ways. Here's the first question. What are you going to do with your life? And the second question, who are you going to do it with? Have you ever thought about this? Do you think about this sometimes at night or when you're daydreaming in class? My guess is sometime on fall break, you'll get popped this exam. Maybe your Aunt Susie will come up to you and say, "So, have you met someone yet?" And your answer will be, "Yeah, I've met a lot of people." What do you mean? And you know exactly what she means. Or Uncle Joe will say, "So what about that major?" And you'll say, "Yeah, I'm still working on which one of the three possibilities that I have that I'm actually going to decide." Some of you confidently reply. You say, "I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to make a lot of money." And of course, give it to God's work, missions. "I'm going to be senator and then go on to be president. And if that's your plan, please do it quickly, as fast as possible." And then some of you say, "You see that girl over there? She's my future wife. Doesn't know about it yet, but that's the one." But maybe when you're alone, you're not quite as confident. About 80% of students in the United States end up changing their majors. On average, college students, are you some of those? College students change their major at least three times over the course of their college career. And 60% of U.S. college graduates cannot find a full-time job in their chosen profession. Now, I don't have statistics on broken hearts, how many of the people that we think we're going to marry that we never do, but there's probably quite a few of those as well. And don't you wish that God would just tell you? I mean, he's sovereign, isn't he? He knows these things. That would save a lot of trouble. Wouldn't it be great if you could just send an email to heaven and receive an answer in 3 days by registered dove coming in through your window, which you hoped was closed today because of the smell, right? And that email would tell you God's will. Or you're sitting in class praying about your future wife and a pillar of fire descends on her head and you know she's the one. She's not excited about this, but you're thrilled. Or an angel from heaven comes in the middle of the night and visits your room and it fills with light and says, "This is how you're to spend your summer." Again, you're thrilled. Your roommate's kind of freaked out. So God's sovereign. He must know. Why doesn't he tell us? Or maybe God doesn't care. Maybe he's just saying, "Son or daughter, I believe in you. Follow your heart. Whatever you want to do, I'm for you." Is that what God's like? Now, I think God does reveal his will to us, but I need to tell you a couple of things about God's will before I tell you how you can find his will. And by the way, if you're not taking notes yet, we're going to be moving through some various passages, and I encourage you to take notes on these, because this exam, you'll face it. You'll face it soon, maybe even the next couple of days. How does God reveal his will? Well, first of all, we need to know that God plans and sweeps, but reveals in steps. That's the first thing you can write down. God plans and sweeps, but he reveals in steps. Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." So before you were born, God was planning the sweep of your life and writing your days in his book. Ephesians 1:4 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." This means that when God was thinking about how he was going to create the world, he actually was thinking about you. He knew your name. He knew you would be sitting in chapel today. He knew he would call you to himself. And that's how far God plans ahead. He started planning about your life before he created the world. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. And Ephesians 2:10 and 11 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So you're his workmanship. He knows exactly how he made you, and he's prepared good works beforehand for you to walk in. There's this sweep, but how does he show it to us? He shows it to us in steps, right? So you remember the nation of Israel? You're going to go to the promised land. God, show us the map and tell us exactly how long it's going to take. No, he said, there's this pillar of fire at night and this cloud in the day, and you just need to follow them. Do today what I've shown you to do. It's going to fit into this sweep of what I've planned. You remember when he sent the disciples, he said, you're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then he gave them one instruction. He says, wait here in Jerusalem for the gift of the Spirit. They said, tell us about, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, we're not going to talk about that. I've given you your next instruction. Wait. And so if we want to learn to hear the will of God, we've got to trust him for the sweep, but follow him in the steps. Be obedient to the next step that God has shown before us. And that's why in Galatians 5:25 it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, just so we're ready for this test, I want you to get that first point with me. God plans and sweeps and reveals in steps. Can you do that together with me? God plans and sweeps but reveals in steps. Some of you aren't doing this. You're not going to be prepared for this test. Okay, get ready. Get you ready. God plans and sweeps and reveals in steps. Okay, that's the first thing you need to know about God's will. Now, you may say, yeah, but I still am having a hard time discerning his will. How does he actually reveal it? Well, if you turn to Romans 12:1 and 2, you'll find a very interesting passage. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, what comes before the then? Because whatever comes before the then shows how I will be able to discern his will. And this is what he says before that. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you realize there are two things that precede your ability to discern the will of God? And the first is surrender. If you're not surrendered to his will, you won't be able to discern it. And second is a renewed mind. Let me illustrate this. When I was 19 years old, I was thinking a lot about my future. I just moved to a new city where I didn't know anyone and was in a dead-end job, working from 4 a.m. to 1 in the afternoon, doing something that made no difference. I had just become involved in the local church and thought, I'm going to make a difference here, so I volunteered to be the youth leader, and they said, you're too young, and so gave me a small group of guys to disciple, and I had five guys I was discipling, and when we would meet together, two of them would fall asleep, and when you have a small group of five and two of them have gone to sleep, everyone notices that. And I was struggling with, God, what do you have for my life? There's no girl anywhere on the horizon, and I want my life to count for you. And I remember just being frustrated most of the day, every day. One day I was driving home from work, and it was raining, and I was arguing with God in the car. And finally I pulled over because I was kind of weaving in the rain and just sat in this parking lot and started talking to God. I was actually beating on the steering wheel. And I said, God, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. How come you're not showing me what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm totally in a dead end. And I stopped, and it was one of those times where the Spirit of God just began to speak to me, not in an audible voice. And I sensed the Lord saying, Dave, you've got a contract with me, don't you? And I said, yeah, I do. Well, what's on the contract? I said, well, I want to serve you and follow you, and I want you to use me. And he said, what else is on the contract? And well, every contract has conditions, right? You never have a contract without conditions. Like, I'll serve you if you use me significantly. I'll follow you if I don't have to follow you alone. That wouldn't be good. I'll do great things for you if you make sure everyone knows about that. And by the way, it needs to be fun and fulfilling and all these other conditions that I had on the list. And I remember God's Spirit saying to me, I don't accept contracts like that. Well, what should be on the contract? Or your signature. What else? What are you going to fill in? Well, I'm the one that fills that in. You need to lay yourself on the altar and surrender, and then trust me that whatever I do with your life, it will be best. Well, this was a fight because at that age, and you know at this age, we have lots of conditions, things that we're wanting from God, and he wanted my hands open. And I remember very distinctly in the rain, in that car, going through all the things that I didn't want God to do. I said, God, if you want me to be single the rest of my life, you're Lord. I give you that right. If you want me to serve you and no one ever knows, that's up to you. All the things that I don't want, I lay on the altar and I say, I trust you. You can do whatever you want with my life. What's interesting is that the next day I began to very clearly discern the next steps that God wanted for me. The next day I moved into a period of great peace. And in the next 6 months, God laid out some unbelievable steps that laid the foundation for what I'm doing today. But I couldn't see that at 19 years of age. All I could see was my closed hands and clenched fists on my demands for my life. You won't discern God's will for your life with clutched hands. You'll only discern it if you've surrendered, if you've said, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, however you want to use me or not use me, even if maybe you don't have that person for me for a couple of years, I surrender. I surrender. Surrender. And then it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. You are spending a lot of time training your minds here, but that's not the same as renewing your minds. You're filling your minds with information, but they must be renewed, and they're renewed by that daily time in God's Word with devotions. Do you ever find that that's hard to do as university students? Like, there's lots of reading and lots of study, and sometimes your personal time with God gets pushed off to the end of the day. My habit was in college to spend time with God right before I went to bed. But often I would have lots of studies, and right before I went to bed was late at night. And I was tired and couldn't think straight. And I'd say, well, I'll just spend that time in the morning. And then morning came, and I didn't quite get up when the alarm rang and rushed off to class. And then, well, I'll get time in the afternoon. And I was finding that I was filling my mind, but my mind wasn't renewed. And I remember my senior year in college, coming into that time saying, God, my highest priority is not to train my mind, but to renew my mind. And I made a really interesting decision. I said, I won't do any studies until I've spent my time with God, because I know I've got to do studies, right? So either first thing in the morning or first thing in the afternoon, before I can do study for any other classes, before I train my mind or fill my mind, I'm going to renew my mind and spend time in God's Word. I thought, well, I just won't have time for studies. I won't have energy. But I found as I put God first and renewed my mind and my devotions with him that he began to lead me and he began to fill me. And his promise here that I would be able to discern his will was true. So remember the first thing we said, God what? Plans and sweeps and reveals and steps. Everyone together, plans and sweeps. But reveals his steps. And here's this next point. If you want to see true, surrender and renew. Okay? So if you want to see true, surrender and renew. Let's try that together. I want you to be prepared for this test. Uncle George and Aunt Sue will ask you about God's will for your life. So you need to be ready, okay? If you want to see true, surrender and renew. This sets you up to be able to discern God's will. Okay, so now I'm doing those things. How particularly does God reveal his will to me? Well, we find that in Scripture that God reveals his will in five different ways. And I also have some help for you on this, too. It's like your hand. The first way he reveals himself to you is by the Word of God. This is the strongest. It's the thumb. In fact, half of the passages in the Bible that talk about God's will talk about his moral will, how we should live. Passages like 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is that you should be holy. 1 Peter 2:15 says that God's will is by doing good you should silence the talk of foolish men. So first we look, does God's word have anything to say about this decision I'm facing or about how he wants me to live my life? And sometimes the answers are surprising. It was already mentioned here earlier that I've served overseas for over 30 years. And I remember one particular time when we were having our third child and serving in Czech, and we had some medical difficulties, so we were stuck in Germany with my wife in the hospital, this third child. Well, she finally got out of the hospital, and we were getting ready to go back to the Czech Republic, and I drove out to pick up some groceries, and as I was headed out, I heard this noise that wasn't very pleasant in the car, and then the car stopped. And I went, oh no, got someone to tow me to a garage, and they said, your motor's gone, it will be $5,000. So I have a new child, I'm not in the country I'm supposed to be, I want to get home, I have no money, my car is ruined, and I remember going back home and saying, God, what's your will? Like, would you reveal, you're planning and sweeps, would you start revealing these steps? Should I fix this car? Should I not? Should we go back to check? Should we not? What's your next step for this situation? And I didn't get an answer. So you remember, if you've got to what? If you want to see true, surrender and renew, right? So I thought, I wonder if I could spend some time in God's word. And I opened up God's word and started reading this. This was the text for my devotions that day. And this is what it said. It said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My question was, should I fix the car or not? Right? Should we head back to check now or not? What should I do? And he said, the will of God is to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. So I went back out to the living room and I said, Connie, I know what we should do. And she said, what? Are we going to fix the car or not? I said, we're to rejoice. So let's do that right now. Well, what about the car? Well, we're to pray without ceasing. Well, what do we do after that? Well, it says I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. So let's stop and give thanks right now because this is God's will. That thumb. So we stopped and did that. What about the car? I don't know. Well, a little bit later in the day, I got a call from our pastor in the States, and he said, how's it gone with the birth of your daughter? And I told him, and he said, are you headed back to check? And I said, well, we'd like to, but our car, the engine just blew on the car. He said, really? He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, we're rejoicing, we're praying, and we're giving thanks. Because God has revealed his will to us, so that's what we're doing. He said, great. Well, we'll pray with you. Hung up the phone. About an hour later, he called again, and he said, well, we've been praying, and we just put a check in the mail for $5,000. Fix that car. Get that thing fixed. God plans and sweeps and reveals in steps, and as we surrender and renew, it's amazing how those steps unfold into a plan that sometimes can boggle our minds. Those steps of obedience for his moral will can unfold into his specific will. So that's the first one, the Word of God. The Word of God. The second one is the Spirit of God. In Acts 13, 2 through 4, the Spirit set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. Acts 15, 28, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to do something. Acts 16, 6, they were kept by the Spirit. So God reveals through his word, but he also reveals through his Spirit. I remember sitting in a chapel at Wheaton Grad School when I was working on my master's there. And hearing a lady stand up and talk about the former Soviet Union that had just fallen apart and Central and Eastern Europe. And she said, we're in a hinge of history. Very rarely does a whole region of the world move from totalitarianism to openness. And she said, there's unprecedented open doors for the gospel. And God might be calling some of you to stand in that gap. I'd done some short-term missions trips into Central and Eastern Europe and was thinking, somebody ought to go there and share the gospel with young people. Someone ought to go there and equip local churches to reach the next generation. But I can remember sitting in that chapel, hearing a lady by the name of Anita Dynica speak, and God's Spirit just went right to my heart and said, Dave, that somebody is you. That somebody is you. I don't know if you've ever experienced those times where God's Spirit just puts his finger on you and says, I'm not talking in generals. I'm not talking just in principles. I'm talking about you and your next 3 months or you and your next year. I'm talking about maybe even you and your life. And the Spirit puts his finger on us and we hear the Spirit's call. But when you hear the Spirit's call, respond, because his way always leads to blessing. His way always leads to goodness. God's plans are good. The Word of God, the Spirit of God. Hey, let's go back to the beginning so we make sure we're keeping line. If God what? Plans and sweeps and reveals and steps. And if you want to see true, surrender and renew. And then we're talking about how you find that out. Well, the first is the Word of God. And that's the strongest one. All the other ways of discerning God's will, you have to test against the Word of God. And the second is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will point in some directions. That sense of peace or the sense of his voice saying, you're the one. Here's the third one. The mind of God. The mind of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who has known the mind of God that we may instruct him, but you have the mind of Christ. So when you use your mind, when you think about what makes sense and plan for the future, when you make lists of pros and cons, when you gather information about opportunities and put them against each other, that's actually spiritual work if your mind has been renewed by Christ. A renewed mind will think God's thoughts after him. And Luke 14 talks about a man doesn't sit down to build a tower before counting the cost. And sometimes we don't know what we should do next just because we need to gather more information. You need to research about different things. And that's spiritual work as God guides your mind. Now, with any of these, there's a danger of using them alone. I won't do this, but if you use that finger just by itself, it's not pleasant, right? So don't just use your mind. Make sure that you're checking out your mind with the Word of God and checking it out with the Spirit of God. Here's the next. First one is what? The Word of God. Second one is Spirit of God. Third one is the mind of God. Here's the fourth one, the people of God. The people of God. Proverbs 20:18 says, make plans by seeking advice. Proverbs 13:10 says, wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel. And so as you're thinking about your future, even if you're thinking about that gal you're looking at in class or you're following or that guy who's asked you out on a date, ask other people what they think as well. Listen to your parents when they have some advice, because wisdom is found in those who take advice. Now, sometimes people only use this one. They just ask everyone's their opinion, and you find different opinions. That's why it has to be filtered by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the mind of God. In fact, it's strongest if you use all of these together. Like if I'm going to pick up a glass and I just pick it up with one finger, I'm liable to drop it. Or with two, it's not as stable. It's strongest if I can use all of these ways to find God's will and use them to correct and advise each other. What's the first one? This is the Word of God. Second, Spirit of God. The fourth one is people of God. All right. And here's the last one, the sovereignty of God. In Romans 1:13, Paul says, I planned many times to come, but I was prevented. In other words, he was headed in a direction and God closed the door. In 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9, he said, there's a great door for effectual work that is open to me. He says, I'm moving this direction because God's opened a door. And then we read that passage in Ephesians 2, 10 that says there's good works prepared in advance, which means that as we're moving forward, there'll be a natural unfolding of God's plan. We'll find that a door opens and a door closes, that we move in a direction and we find that it's been prepared, that unfolds not in easy ways, but in natural ways as if it's been planned. That's because God plans and sweeps, right? Even though he only reveals in steps. And so it's important to notice what's happening around us, the kinds of people that God puts us in contact with, the opportunities he gives us, the doors that open, the doors that shut. Now, as always, this one's probably the weakest because it's easy to misinterpret. You know, you can say, like, it's raining this morning. God obviously doesn't want me to go to class, right? I mean, we can interpret circumstances often to mean whatever we want. So we need to make sure we're checking that by everything else. But we do need to discern what God's doing around us and respond to it. So we can use the Word of God, Spirit of God, mind of God, people of God, and the sovereignty of God to help us discern the will of God. And we'll have to remember that God plans in sweeps, but reveals in steps. And that if we want to be able to discern, if we want to see true, we have to surrender and renew. Well, some of you, God is going to call to be teachers. Maybe one of you will be a senator, hopefully a president. Some of you will make lots of money. Please give it to missions. But I'm also praying that God calls some of you to be missionaries. And Charles Spurgeon said, if God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. God calls you to be a missionary, don't stoop to be a king. It's a high calling to serve God in his harvest field. It's a high calling to serve God in his harvest field in places where people have never heard, where you can bring that gospel. God has called me to lead a team of missionaries who are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with young people and working with churches all across Central and Eastern Europe. And I'm praying that God calls some of you to join our team, either in a summer for a summer internship or maybe even full time, or calls you somewhere in the world to spread his message. Father, I thank you for the students at Cedarville. I thank you for their commitment to your word and to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they're at a stage where they will be faced with this exam very often of discerning your will. I pray that they would remember that you plan in sweeps, but reveal in steps, that you do have a plan for their life, but you'll probably only show it one step at a time. God, I pray that they would understand that if they want to see true, they have to surrender and renew. And they'd keep their hands open for whatever you have and keep their minds renewed in your word. And then, Lord, help them to discern through the five things that you have given us for discerning your will, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through the mind of God, the people of God, and the sovereignty of God. And I pray, too, that you'd call some of them into missions, and they would have the joy and privilege of sharing your message of salvation with many who've never heard. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen.